So we're not getting back to Mark. I wanted to do a different sermon. Then we'll jump back into Mark later. But I wanted to do a different sermon because we're in a new place. And I thought, hey, if we're in a new place and this is our first time here, it's kind of like I wanted to state that even though we're in a new place, our mission hasn't changed. We're still focusing on and we're still trying to accomplish the same thing. And that's super important because I think sometimes as we're going through church and we get into the routines, sometimes we can forget about some of the stuff that should be obvious, right? Being able to realize that the obvious, you know, should be obvious, right? Wouldn't you guys agree with that? When I think about the obvious, I think about Germany and our last trip. And going down and watching soccer on this huge screen and literally thousands and thousands of people out on the riverfront and everybody, it's like a mosh pit in front of these giant screens and everybody, it's like this national thing that's happening and the screens are like, you know, being televised around Germany and everybody is watching the soccer team, the screen, and it pops up the Kiss Cam. And for some reason, this group of Americans that's right in the middle of all of it, you know, we're all jumping, and highlights on Kevin and Hannah. And all of a sudden, they're on the big screen on the Kiss Cam. And Hannah's like, yeah, they got me, yeah! And she's just going. And Kevin's like, it's a Kiss Cam. And he's like, and Hannah's like, yeah! And the whole time, and they never did kiss, and it was like you know, sometimes it's important to know the obvious, right? And the sad thing about that is, Hannah has always wanted to be on the Kiss Cam, and she missed it. She just missed it. So, and poor Kevin, my heart goes out to Kevin more because he's like, I want to kiss her, but she's like, I can't even come close. She's like going crazy. Anyways, so. I wanted to talk about the obvious and what we are, what we're trying to accomplish. See, the heart of Explore Church is this, is I really want to be able to see a healthy church established in Missoula. For decades now, we have had so much church trauma happen here in Missoula. We've had very established, very good church leaders who have retired and kind of put their church into places where they're looking for that new pastor and new vision that's just been hard and it's been a long journey. We've had churches that have risen to the top that changed their doctrine and literally began to teach heresy and really led a lot of people astray. We've had churches that have split. We've had churches that have fallen apart because of sin and immorality. We have had a long time, not just COVID, but we've had a long time where churches in Missoula have just been torn apart. The devil has been at full attack and has been destroying churches left and right. I've been here in Montana now 21 years. And a while back, and this isn't even recently, a while back me and Sasha sat down and we kind of started going through all the different church plants or churches that have actually disappeared. The ones that came and didn't make it or the ones that were here and finally closed their door. And out of that time period, we came up with 20 churches that we knew of that had closed their doors. Missoula has been an area that healthy churches has been super hard for them to get established and to continue in that journey. And it's not doesn't mean that we're the only healthy church. That's not what I'm saying at all, okay? Please don't get me in that. But I think there's a reality when you stop and look at a healthy church. But often what happens is a church takes on the characteristics of its pastor. I apologize ahead of time. You take on the characteristics of its pastor. And so for me to be able to stop and go, wait a minute, I know there's certain things that I'm good at and there's certain things that I'm not good at. And to be a healthy church, what has to happen is there actually has to be the things that I'm not good at happen too. And so I think, like I say, there's a lot of churches around that are good churches, and I'm not saying that they're unhealthy, but a lot of times they will focus in on one area of ministry. And so it becomes kind of difficult for them. And so as we've set out, the reality of it is I wanted to create a church that can actually help somebody all the way from looking for Jesus, somebody who wants to understand what it means to be a believer, wants to understand what Christ has done, somebody who's looking for Jesus, all the way to somebody who is like, man, I really feel like God is calling me into ministry, and I'm looking for that church that would send me out and support me in doing that. And being able to cover that gamut. Being able to actually have a church that really takes you through the journey and helps you be able to grow and process all the way through that. So that's the obvious. That's what we're trying to accomplish. If you've been sitting here the whole time going, nah, I like the church, but I have no idea what we're trying to do. That's it. That's the KISS cam, all right? So there it is. It's up in front of you. All right, turn over here to the Philippians chapter 1. We're going to read starting in verse 9. And this is my prayer, that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and depth and insight, so that you may be able to discern what is best and may be pure and blameless for the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ, to the glory and the praise of God. This is my prayer for us. This is the verses to me that kind of encapsulate the reality of what it means to be on this journey. It kind of highlights the very beginning right off of it, that your love may abound. To me, the idea of love is so important. If you think about it, it's what God is, this love. And not only is he love, but he has sent his son to redeem us. It is an act of love. His death on the cross was to redeem us in a passion, in a love that, to be honest, it's so hard sometimes for us to even grasp. When we begin to realize that love and begin to put it into our hearts, when we receive what it is that he's done for us on the cross, we receive that salvation, that love that begins to saturate us, to sink into us, it changes the way that we think and the way that we act towards other people. When we've experienced grace, we give grace. When we've experienced love, we give love. In many ways, we go through this life and we have a hard time understanding those things. And in many ways, as older we get, we go through so many different relationships and friendships that get hurt and damaged that we get kind of hard on the outside. And we do it to protect ourselves because we don't want to go through the pain anymore. And we feel like if I can just isolate, if I don't step into those relationships, if I don't risk, then I'll be okay. I won't experience that pain. And so the truth of it is actually when we do that, what happens is we become even more lonely. We actually, the opposite of the healing happens in our heart. We actually get bitter inside. And it gets harder and harder for us to even know how to make relationships. Relationships and community, I think, is a huge key to the beginning of this whole journey. Matter of fact, I want to turn over here to Matthew. Matthew chapter 22. To me, this is the beginning of this whole process, the beginning of this journey. Matthew 22, starting down here in verse 36. Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law? Jesus replied, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it, love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and all the prophets hang on these two commandments. Love is such an important theme throughout the scriptures. When you go into it, you look in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, the love chapter, it basically tells you that, man, whatever you do, if you don't do it in love, it's absolutely pointless. You may sacrifice things, you may have knowledge, you may perform miracles, but if it's not done in love, it's worthless. Because it's love that actually translates. It's actually love that it's important. Jesus said, they will know that you're my disciples by your love for each other. See, we're supposed to love outrageously. We're supposed to love in a way that the world does not love. We're supposed to be able to sacrifice for one another and consider others better than ourselves, to actually humble ourselves in the way that we think about ourselves in order to be able to encourage others. Love is what keeps the unity of the church together, because let's face it, we come from all sorts of different backgrounds, all sorts of different things. And when you bring a bunch of people together and you're trying to accomplish something, somebody's going to think differently. Somebody's going to say something stupid. Something's going to happen, and somebody's going to be offended. And love is the only thing that keeps that unity together. See, it's the beginning of the journey because of this. It starts with falling in love with God. It's that relationship. That's what he cares about. He cares about individuals. Sometimes we get distracted and we think he cares about morality. Morality is important, but that's not what he cares about. He cares about individuals. He cares about who you are, and he cares about what's happening in your heart. And sometimes this immorality that happens inside of us is a rebellion, or it's just a pushback because there's pain and there's hurt that's going on inside. And each and every one of us has our own story. And so it's for us to get up and lay a blanket policy about something is ridiculous, because God does it on an individual basis of showing his love to us. And when we begin to come to a place of realizing, man, that God loves me, our lives begin to change. That's why he talks about this, man. This is a huge concept, because when you can begin to be loved by God, what happens is you come into the congregation, you sit down, and it's like, I'm here because I'm in love with God and I want to worship him. And then what happens is all of a sudden that love begins to transform you, where you can begin to love other people. What I've noticed in this journey is this. I've noticed a lot of people that have come into church, if they don't feel welcome, if they don't feel like they're accepted, if they feel like they're judged, if they feel like they're off to the side, what happens is they put up the walls to protect themselves. They put up the walls because they don't want to be rejected. They don't want to be judged. And so they put up those walls and they separate themselves. They separate themselves from community. And when they do that, what happens is they also separate themselves from spiritual growth. See, the beginning of relationships to me is huge, because that's where Jesus starts. And not only is that where Jesus starts, but what happens is when we start with that relationship, it actually opens us up in order to grow spiritually. Because, see, when I feel loved, when I feel like I'm confident in Christ and I can begin to love other people, all of a sudden I want to know what God wants for my life. See, love is a motivator. A lot of times we think that fear is the motivator behind Christianity. Do not touch, do not handle, do not taste. These things are wrong, bad, bad, bad. Which is interesting, because the scripture in Colossians literally says that. Hey, this is actually human religion. Do not touch, do not taste, do not handle. It's a philosophy that has this appearance of wisdom, because it harsh treatment on the body and this restrictive habit that you live in. That's a total paraphrase, by the way. But here's the reality of it. It doesn't change the desires that happen inside my heart. I can't overcome sin. I can't overcome and be victorious because I lay down rules and regulations. That's super important to get, guys. What changes my heart is when I begin to realize, why am I doing this? Why do I behave this way? What's going on inside me that makes me long and do the things that I should not be doing? And it begins to understand that, man, I'm still loved and I'm still accepted. But I don't want to be here. And you begin to experience the love and the grace that God has for you. When you experience the love and grace, what happens is it motivates you in a different way. You actually want and desire to change that inside habit. I mean, imagine if I was married with my wife and I had this habit of, like, destroying the bathroom. You know, I go to the bathroom and I leave everything everywhere. And if I'm talking about you, I'm sorry. But, you know, you just kind of destroy the bathroom. And she comes in and it's like every day she has to clean it up. And you see that happen. And she's in tears because every day she goes in there and I've destroyed everything and made a mess out of it all. It would not take long, would it, for me to stop and go, wait a minute, I love my wife. And when I do this, it hurts her. I need to pick up my clothes. I need to put the toothpaste back. I need to make sure the towels aren't laying on the floor and the toilet seat's put down. And you start going, I'm going to do all these things because I love my wife. Right? The reality is really simple. The same thing happens when we fall in love with God. When we begin to feel love. When we get in community and we start to love other people, and all of a sudden we begin to receive love from other people, all of a sudden that helps us be able to go, oh, you know what? I don't want to offend. I don't want to hurt. And love actually becomes the motivator that changes our life. It leads us to a place of being able to grow spiritually and mature in maturity. Speaking of maturity, turn over to Ephesians chapter 4. If we start with love, there is a reality that we are on this journey. Ephesians chapter 4, starting in verse 11. As you guys know, I love these verses. It talks about the church and how the church is supposed to function. Starting here in verse 11. So Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, the teachers, so the leadership of the church, to equip his people for works of service, so the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in faith and in knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the full measure of the fullness of Christ. In other words, that we would become like Christ. Then we will no longer be infants tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind and teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of men and their deceitful schemes. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become in every respect the mature body of him who is the head, that is Christ. From him the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. That's a healthy church. A church that comes together and realizes, hey, each and every one of you has something that God has gifted you with. In 1 Corinthians, again, before chapter 13, verse 12, or chapter 12, it literally talks about the body of Christ. Which is interesting because chapter 13 is that love chapter, and the chapter before that is literally talking about you belong to the body, and you have a part in it. And that part that you've given, you have specific gifts, you have specific talents, you have been molded and created in a certain way in order to be able to bless the body, to be able to bless other people. And then it goes into the love chapter. To me, it's like you can't separate that. When you begin to realize that, man, God has loved me and he has accepted me and I've turned my life over to him, and you begin to love other people, you're fulfilling the great commandments. As you begin to do that, it is literally impossible to love other people if you don't serve them. If you are disconnected and you are away from everybody, you can't express love. You have to be with people to express love. And when you serve them, when you step up and meet their needs, when you do the jobs that you do you realize the jobs that you do are an expression of God's love to mankind around you? Because you're out there, whether you're swinging a hammer or flipping burgers or whatever it is, that is a ministry, that is a gift that you are giving to other people. You are serving somebody else. You may be being paid for it, and that may be your motivation is to be paid for it. I get that. But the root of it is this, is God has given you the abilities and the talents to be able to actually love and bless other people. But it goes deeper than just your jobs. It goes to a place of your experiences, your gifts, your talents, kind of the make of who you are. You have abilities, each and every one of you. It doesn't matter your age. It doesn't matter, all that stuff, because the reality is all that stuff comes together in a beautiful way that God has given you the ability to meet certain needs that other people cannot meet. To be able to step in and love and bless other people. See, a lot of times when we think about the church, we think, okay, whatever the pastor's vision is that's what we're going to try to accomplish. You know, so it may be on a certain thing, or, you know, just evangelism or missions, or it's going to be. And so the church kind of takes on that flavor. When the truth is really the flavor of the church should be the lot of us. That each and every one of us, as we step in and do the things that God has called us to, that's when we become mature. When we're not stepping into those things, then we're missing out. So if this journey starts with love, the reality of it is that we begin to grow in maturity, that there is this process that happens as we begin to step in faith and a knowledge of what God has created in us. This is why discipleship is so important. Man, having a place to be able to sit down and talk with somebody, or be able to sit down in a group and be able to discuss scriptures, we begin to have a knowledge of what God wants. But it's not just a knowledge to go, oh, okay, now I know who Melchizedek is. But it is a knowledge of being able to go, hey, wait a minute, how do I live this out? How do I help other people in the midst of this? How does this impact me? I mean, if you think about it, biblical wisdom is this. It's knowledge plus understanding times application. Man, that's where it really hits the fan. Is where we get to that place and go, it's not just me having more understanding, it's me taking what I got and actually living it out. Sometimes we can get kind of puffed up and we go, man, I got this knowledge and this is the way things should be, and we kind of like force this knowledge on other people. Or we treat them bad because they don't have that knowledge. But I tell you what, that's not the mature individual. Mature individual is, regardless of how much knowledge they got, is how much they're actually using it and living in it. How much they're applying it to their life. How much they're allowing God to actually step in and direct, that they can hear the voice of God and the Holy Spirit speak to them, and they can move in the way that He had have them move. As the scripture talks about, man, the more that we understand, the more we begin to realize who God is, the more we realize the genuineness of who He is, then we can stop and be able to see the things out here that are counterfeits. The things that are just teachings that are coming because of our culture. And so here's an easier way to swallow the gospel, and so we're going to change it for the culture. Or some things that are just outright evil. They're made to deceive and pull people away. We have an adversary. He wants to destroy us. And the reality is when we be able to put all that stuff together and go, oh, wait a minute. God has this plan for us, and this is what it is. And it changes the way I think and the way I understand. And so there is a truth, and I want to live by the truth, because Jesus said the truth will set me free. And so I allow that truth to saturate my life, and I step into it, not just hearing the word, but being obedient to the word. Otherwise, I'm a fool. But I take that word and I understand it and I want to live it. And if I'm living it, then I'm walking wise. I'm building my house on the rock and not on sand. And when I look at that, I begin to realize how important love is in the midst of it, because love is the root that goes all through the whole thing. So even when somebody comes along and says, hey, that's not right, or you got to do this or whatever, you can address it in love. It's like, no. This is what the scripture says. This is the way it is. And I can help you get there if you want it. To be able to come back to a place of helping others and leading them to that place of maturity. But it doesn't stop here. This is the process. Being able to grasp these things of what God has for us. 1 Peter chapter 4. The end of all things is near. Therefore, be alert and a sober mind so that you may pray. Above all, love each other deeply. Remember that? See, love is through the whole scripture. Above all, love each other deeply, because love covers over a multitude of sin. Offer hospitality, and literally the word hospitality means to love a stranger. offer hospitality to one another without grumbling. Each of you should use whatever gifts you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. If anyone speaks, they should do it as the one who speaks the very words of God. If anyone serves, they should do it with the strength God provides, so that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. To him be the glory and the power forever and ever. You were created for good works. You weren't created for good works in order to be able to please God, to be able to get some like, okay, this is where it's at. The reality is God is at work, and he has asked you to step in with him. He has given us the privilege to actually see him move and do things. If you want an exciting life of walking with Jesus, this is where it really gets real. This is where you go, okay, not only do I know about him, not only am I growing in him, but now it's like I'm stepping out of my comfort zone and I'm going to serve him in whatever he's asked me to serve in. To be able to use the gifts that he's given me, to be able to use those for his glory. When you come out and you step in that, this is what's really cool is you begin to see God do incredible things. You begin to see God move in incredible ways, and people are like, man, you have no idea. Some of you guys have the ability to go, oh man, I need to be praying for so-and-so right now. And you'll text them and say, hey, I'm praying for you, and you'll get a response back. It's like, how did you know? I needed it at that time because I was losing my mind. Such and such was going on, and you're, the reality that somebody's praying for me just brought me back to where I need to be. God will do that. God loves to step in incredible ways and blow your mind to show you that he is at work and he wants to use you. When you begin to step into the gifts that God has given you, the reality is the more that you do it, you get to the point where you just expect it to happen, because that's the way God works. It's one of those deals that, guys, this is the place where you begin to really mature. To come to a point where it's not just, hey, God saved me and it's about me, but now it's like, man, I get to actually walk alongside with what God is doing. I get to see him move in incredible ways and change lives. To be able to encourage and to love others that I thought I would never be able to have that experience to do. To see people impacted in a different way. God wants to use us. And he's given us these gifts. And I love how Peter says it. It's this element of grace to us. Not just grace that he's given me a gift, but the fact that I can use my gift and I use it for you, it's grace given to you. I can be an instrument of God's working. I mean, you think through your life. How many times has there been something in your life where somebody did something, helped you with something, was generous to you, helped you out of a situation, and you go, wow, that was really cool. That was really nice. That was really loving. You've experienced God's grace. That's what he wants. He wants us to be able to work. He's created this not for a world of chaos. Sin is what does that. Our own desires is what does that. When I satisfy my desires, I bring chaos to the world. When I chase after what I want, I think it's going to satisfy me, that usually means I leave people in the wake. I'm climbing the ladder. I'm doing whatever I need to do to be able to achieve what I want to achieve. And somewhere along the way, I bring chaos to the world. God's plan is very, very different. You step into what God has for you, and what happens is actually as you work and you act in love and you begin to use these things that God has given you to serve other people, what happens is there's love that comes in the midst of it. There's unity. There's a different experience. There's an understanding of a purpose. There's a place of peace, and there's a place of hope that happens when we begin to act like this. This changes things. It leaves an impact. It really does. It changes the world around us. It doesn't just change your heart, but the reality is, if we want to change the world, it has to happen in each and every one of us. And so when each and every one of us begins to experience the grace of God in our lives because of what God is doing, and we begin to act in that way, it leaves an impact on this world. People begin to experience it, and they can't help begin to praise God for where it really comes from. I want you to turn over to Matthew. Matthew chapter 28. You guys know these verses. To me, this is towards this journey. This is where we're headed. Matthew 28, starting here. Where do we start at? Let's start in verse 16. Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mount where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw them, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority on heaven and earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of every nation, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the ends of the age." In John, he literally says, "As I've been sent, I send you." We're supposed to make an impact. But we can't make the impact. Only the Holy Spirit can make the impact. We're supposed to do great things, but we can't do great things. It's only God does great things through us. But it's when we surrender to Him and we allow Him to begin to use us in whatever gifts, whatever forms He got, realizing that He wants to bring glory to Himself. When we step into that, we do make an impact on the world. That's why our core values, we talk about community, we talk about growth, we talk about purpose, and we talk about impact. Community, finding love, growth, and growing in understanding of what God has done in your life. Purpose, and the fact that you have been created for a purpose. And that closure of impact, because the reality is we want to change the world. We want to influence the world. Not in the sense that we can stand up here and go, "You guys need to be moral." But to be able to stand up here and say, "Do you understand that you are loved? That you have a God and a creator that has a purpose for your life? That there is a better way. There's a place that you can step into and be known and accepted. And not only known and accepted, but a place where He will love you and change those things inside of you that you hate so desperately about yourself. To rescue you from our past. To wipe away the sins. To realize that there is peace and there is joy and there is hope and there is purpose. There is honor in what God has for you. To be able to see the world come to a place, to be able to see Missoula come to a place where it begins to realize that there is a healthy church, that we can have an impact." And you think about it. It comes all the way back to love. It goes all the way through all of it. Because the impact comes when we begin to serve other people in love. When they see the church out there and they're actually doing things that actually change our community. To be able to step into situations and be generous and be able to help in ways that we can. That's why the Serve 406 is so important, because all the churches are coming together and doing that. But doing it once a year, come on, that's not what it's about. It's not like, "Hey, let's put on the shirt, do a big rally. We did our once a year. I'm done. I'm good." That's not what, because that's not love. That's an event. But if it's part of your life, I get up and I serve because I want to show other people. Sometimes, to be honest, there's times where I have to go, "You know what? I gotta get up and I gotta go do this." Even though I don't want to. Because when I do it, all of a sudden my heart begins to change, because I realize, no, God is in the midst of this. And when I serve other people, I get to experience what God's doing. And that changes my heart. And the grace that I'm trying to give to somebody else actually comes to me. And I go, "You know, this is a sweet place to be. I am super proud of you guys. Man, God has been growing your love, and God has been growing who you are, and many of you have been stepping into discipleship, and you've been growing, and you've been not only gathering and understanding, but you're actually living it out. My prayer is that not only would you grow more and more in that knowledge and that faith, but that you would step out in faith. That you would begin to serve in the areas that God has called you to. Each and every one of you has something that God has laid on your heart. And it doesn't have to be like, do the worship at church. It can be, let's help the ministry that's out there with battered women. Let's take care of, you name it. Whatever God has laid on your heart, let's step into it. Let's do it. Let's make an impact. Let's create a healthy church. If the church grows, fantastic. But that's not the goal. That's not the goal. God has blessed us and He's given us a great place now. He gave us a great place before. The Pillars basement is a good place to start, right? But now He's really blessed us in an awesome place. Let's not lose sight of the obvious of what we're supposed to be doing. But God has called us to be healthy with each other, to be healthy with Him, to love Him first and foremost, and to love each other. And let's walk through this journey. Let's make an impact. Amen? Father God, we just come before You right now. Lord, I love You. I can't even really fathom why You bother using us. But yet You do. And I see it. I see it all the time. You'll speak to me through somebody, and it touches my heart. Father, it brings strength and faith to me when I see others stepping up and stepping away from past life and stepping into victory. It encourages my heart so much when people are taking what they're learning and applying it. Father God, You are an awesome, mighty God. And we long to glorify You. We long to be in Your presence. We come here to worship You and to lift You up. But Father, even in the midst of what we get out of it personally, Lord, I ask that You would help us to become more like Your Son. That is our destiny. To become more like Your Son, that we would be willing to lay down our life for others. All to Your glory.